New Testament lesson from the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." With God. Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable and pleasing to you. Amen. It is a great honor to worship together in this wonderful congregation. And thank you to Reverend Alice Phillips and for invitation, and also all the worship leadership team for great hospitality already. And the beautiful sanctuary as well. A friend of mine, a rising star in Old Testament, as a scholar, well, he's almost risen star now, said that for him, reading is part of job, it's work. That is why in leisure time, he watches TV like Desperate Housewives, strictly from anthropological, sociological, and psychological analysis perspective. And I thought, oh, I like watching movies, profound movies too, like Naked Gun 33½, and so forth. If you know what I mean. A couple of years ago, there was a movie titled "Ode to My Father." It's a Korean movie. It became one of the mega blockbusters. ODE, "Ode to My Father." It depicts modern Korean history from the 1950s to the present day through the life of an ordinary man as he experiences events such as the Hungnam evacuation of 1950. During the Korean War. The synopsis is briefly separated during wartime North Korea. This man longs to reunite with his father and sister. Last year, June 28th, Washington Post reports South Korea's president himself, a former Korea's special forces like Green Beret, has begun a U.S. visit, well, recently came again, with an emotional tribute to Marines who fought in one of the fiercest battles of the Korean War that helped in the mass evacuation of Korean civilians, including his own parents. There was General Almond and the interpreter Bong Hak-hyun. So the movie starts with that scene. President Moon Jae-in laid a wreath at a Marines base in Quantico, Virginia. The movie starts, spoiler alert, with the General Almond and the interpreter looking at all thousands of refugees, Koreans, running right in front of the ocean. And they're about to embark. The Navy and the Marine forces. And the interpreter's begging, "Sir, please help these people." And General Almond looks up in the sky and looks at the people. And in that significant moment, gives an order to throw away all the artillery and tanks from the ship. And instead to bring in 14,000 refugees on sea coast to Meredith Victoria ship. So now President Moon's parents were on that ship. Of course, the rest of the movie, I don't want to give any more spoiler alert. Moon said that had it not been for their sacrifice, my life would not have begun as it has, and I would not be here today, because his mother was there as well, his parents. He was born in 1953 in South Korea. Moon's parents were among about 100,000 refugees who were evacuated from the area to the south. As the Marines fought their way to the sea at Hungnam in what became known as the Christmas Cargo Campaign or the Miracle of Christmas. During evacuation on December 24th, President Moon says, "My mother recalled that American soldiers gave me one candy as Christmas present. That human love, that giving hope, tied the bonds of countries and saved many people. In these days and ages, it seems, there are constant upheavals and tragedies and turmoil. We hear stories of earthquake, tsunami, nuclear threats, tornadoes, wars, terrorism, hurricane, flooding, diseases. Another colleague of mine, he studies as a historian human trafficking. And he shared this story. Last year he went to India. He met a Hindu lady who also was a former medical doctor. But she gave up all that, and because she started volunteering, and now she's a full-time volunteer for helping in the shelter of victims of human trafficking, survivors. And in their conversation, he asked, you know, during the interviews, more informally, "What do you think of Christians?" Because she's a Hindu person and Hinduism. She thought about it, and she said to my friend, "We'll see." Christians, they have shown me the worst of human beings. And then she said, "And they have also shown me what can be the best of human beings." We human beings, created in the image of God, we have the capacity so special above all animals and nature, and yet also so disturbingly the capacity of doing vicious evil, worse than animals or nature. No wonder the Psalms cry out in this hurting world, broken world. I call the psalmist as angry birds because they react to what is happening in this world. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann has forcefully warned about, however, the costly loss of lament. In our interpretive discourses and theological skills, Brueggemann warns, in the absence of lament, if there is no lament, we may be engaged in uncritical history-stifling praise. So we hear, my God, why have you forsaken me? That, to me, is human expression of cry out, lament with empathy and solidarity. Our solidarity with the meek and the sorrowful, and our crying out to God. We also read, many bulls have surrounded me, dogs have surrounded me. But let us not forget 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. That is, if you want to be the greatest, then desire to be the least. If you want to be the highest, then humble yourselves as the lowest. So we know the New Testament scripture. The rich man who just sadly had to walk away. But we forget the 12 disciples who have left everything to follow him. In the psalm, the psalmist struggles and yet remembers, in you, our ancestors trusted, and you delivered them. You delivered them. That is, and verse 22, 24, I will tell of your name, which in different NASB, New American Standard Version, to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him, all you descendants of Jacob. Glorify him and stand in awe of him. All of you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried out to him for help, he heard. The psalmist remembers the ancestors. The ancestors, the community of faith. We have a, because I serve at a seminary, sometimes we have a well-known preacher's visit. His name is Reverend Tom Troger, recently retired at Yale. He's a professor of homiletics preaching. Somehow, faculty professors got lazy, so somehow schedule conflict. A student had to step up and give him a ride. So she picked him up from the airport. And during the ride, you got to have some talks. And Dr. Troger shared in the chapel sermon, this student asked this question. Did you expect to meet Christ at Yale? What kind of question? And then he shared his answer. I answered, saying, yes. And he named, actually, I can name three people, like Mark, Sandy, you know, for example. When he had open heart surgery, when he fell down, his staff, school staff members and colleagues and students stepped up and helped him out through their fervent prayer before and during and after the operation and throughout the recovery process and say, yes, I met Christ again at Yale. To me, that speaks about the community and ancestors. And as descendants of Jacob and Israel, the psalmist is reassuring again or praying, crying out, without the community, we cannot survive. Without one another, we cannot move on. That talks about transformative, decisive movement. All that rich man had, he could not give up. He could not make that decision. But General Almond, he made the decision to give up the valuable artillery and tanks. We remember the cost of discipleship and also the life of discipleship. Even in the Old Testament, Moses, with his solidarity for the Hebrew slaves, abandoned the privilege of prince of Egypt and followed the call. We remember Esther, who was the princess of the Persian Empire, again power and privilege. And yet, in that crucial moment, she decided to change and saying, if I perish, I perish. And became a deliverer of her people. Not self-centered or greed, but the passion for the weak and the confused and hurt. That is the call for followers of Christ, disciples of Christ. Not holding on to our egos and achievements, credentials, but trusting and obeying. Not the crown, but the old rugged cross that Christ carried. Though he was Lord, scooped down and knelt down, becoming the suffering servant to wash our feet. We know the scandal of cross, and in that crucial moment, Jesus prayed this famous psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? The epitome of solidarity and empathy, and building, bridging the community for all of us. A couple weeks ago, I got an email from another my professor at Claremont, where I did PhD. My Dr. Father passed away at the age of 90 in a very tragic, sad car accident. He and his wife both passed away. They were kindergarten sweethearts in Germany. Professor Rolf Knierim, he would share his story at the age of 14, 15, didn't even know how to lift guns, but though they were losing the war, he was taken to the army, and they told him, if you get caught by the U.S. allies, they will kill you, they will kill you. And he became POW. They didn't kill him. He had a transformative moment. Later on, that's why he studied. He wanted to become a medical doctor, but he went to seminary, theologian. And when he was invited as a visiting scholar at Claremont, his Dr. Vater, his teacher, Professor Gerhard von Rath, said, viel Spaß, have a good time, but please come back. But Professor Knierim stayed in the U.S., telling us he felt indebted to this country. That transformative moment changed his life. He came here. Thanks to that decision, he had taught many students, like Professor Marvin Sweeney, who is a world-renowned Old Testament scholar, but Hebrew Bible scholar, who is a Jewish. So we have a German teacher who taught Jewish student. And he got to teach a Korean person, student like me. I will forever cherish the love he has given. It was a true blessing to have met him. Also, transformative moment for me and teaching. Dear fellow servants of Jesus Christ, fellow flocks and sheep, what can be and what is the moment of leap of faith for each of us? may be the moment to forgive and to trust in greater love, to defy the worst of human, and to instead to hold on to the best of what human can be in each of us. To say no to abandonment and self-centered greed and indifference, but to say yes to solidarity, courage to help those in need, and invest in God in heaven. And to plunge in with the faith in bold decision to follow Christ for the lost sheep. As the psalmist prays at the end in verse 25, for all the families of the nations, like Abraham's blessing, the promise, all the families of the nations will worship before you. Brothers and sisters, do you expect to meet Christ at Plain City in Columbus, Ohio? My God, why have you forsaken me? Through the lament and empathy and solidarity, let us not forget the next psalm, Psalm 23. We hear God's small but sure echoes of promise. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, surrounded by dogs and bulls, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Even the next psalm, Psalm 24, starts, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. The leap of faith should come with our humbling, our decisive moments, our solidarity, and our trusting and obeying, with our trust in Emmanuel, God's grace and miracle blessings through you and me as Christ followers. May it be so in this congregation, this community.